Good morning, sunshine. 7 a.m. on Saturday. Time to talk to your favorite handyman.
I'm so happy to talk to you. You've been my go-to guy for years.
So cozy up with your coffee or get to work. But whatever you do, keep that radio on. And tuned in to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou.
Who's better than Lou? Nobody.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good day, sunshine.
That's going to be a good day. Hi, everybody. 7:11 in the morning. My name is Lou Manfredini. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by Santa Seal, our friends at Santa Seal. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning.
Morning, Sam.
Hello.
Sam, you look like you need a haircut.
I do need one. I'm going today.
Wow. You kind of got that look of, remember, Veronica, the Hanna-Barbera cartoons when we were kids?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch them? Remember there was, I forget what it was, but somebody had a dog.
Oh, yeah.
The dog that had the hair over his eyes.
Yep, yep.
Right?
I'm trying to think what show that was.
Sam, I mean, I just took a quick look. When I look at the cameras, one of them small, and you were looking down, and I'm not saying you look like a dog, but the hair.
I'm going for George Jetson.
If you've never seen Sam, he's a handsome man. He's got that dog hair going over the top, or you got the long bangs going.
Was it Muttley?
Oh, Lindsay's going to come run her fingers through. You'll get, see?
Hurry up. You got till noon. Then it's right to the chopping
board. Where this show is going.
Oh, really? You're going to get your hair cut?
Yes.
Is that why you don't have any product in it?
Yes.
Right now?
Well, I showered this morning, and usually I don't shower
product.
Usually I don't shower. See, he doesn't shower in the morning either.
I don't know what you people do.
On Saturday
mornings. I cannot start my day without a shower. There's no way.
Even when you wake up at 4:30 or whatever time.
Yeah, 4:30 in the morning. I get up. I will tell you that I get up. I kind of, shuffle into the bathroom. I put all my clothes in the bathroom so I don't wake up my wife.
All your product.
And there's no product, believe me. With this hair, look at this hair.
I know.
It looks good.
I know. You should have seen the people at the remote that were running their fingers through my hair. My man, Dr. Yates. What did I do? Oh, I left my horn in my other. I've got to get my horn.
I'll
we left it.
It
in the other studio. I get up, I turn the shower on, I kind of look at myself going, boy, like, ooh, that's what I look like. And I will go into the shower and I will spend a good 3 minutes just warming up, just kind of, making the noises that your father used to make.
One more time?
That's what I make, right. And then I'm ready to go. But I have one of those mornings today where I couldn't remember if I washed my hair or not. So I washed it twice.
Oh.
Because you're so tired?
Yes.
And you're like, okay, am I done? Like, I didn't shave this morning. I don't always shave.
Okay.
And I was like, did I wash my hair? You can't remember. Mm. You can't remember?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen
there.
To you?
Yep.
Right?
Well, I mean.
And then the minute you put the shampoo in your hair, like, oh, yeah, I did wash my hair because you can feel that it's clean. So my hair is extra clean today.
Oh, good.
Real quick, before we get started at 312-981-7200, this is a really quite an amazing thing. I was having a conversation with one of our leaders here at WGN Radio, Todd Manley. We were talking on Friday. And I mentioned to him that this month is the anniversary of Lindsay Smithwick and I working together for 10 years. You have been producing this show. And I'm trying, and this is really kind of, there's... I can only remember the name of a couple other producers I've had. Now, I've been here for 22 years. It'll be 22 in March.
Is it 22 only?
95?
I mean, only. It's only. I thought it was 23. But
20, yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you
right,
have worked, you and I have worked together for 10 years.
That's
so on a completely personal note, and for those of you listening, and Lindsay's a big part of the show, but you have no idea what this woman does for me off the air of keeping this thing on right. She also works tirelessly on our television show, House Smarts. It has been a huge joy to work with you these past years. You're fired. No, and I'd like to thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Pick up your check and head out the door. No, but it really is amazing in this business. And I realize I just do a weekly show. But there's not a lot of producers that have worked with people on the air for that long. And you still look fantastic. And so from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for everything you do.
Yes.
And let's keep it going.
It is I that am the lucky one, and I really think about that every single day. I'm very fortunate to have found you and been placed here in this producer seat.
It's been a nice run, so thank you very much, and happy anniversary. What
happy
is 10? What is 10? Wood?
How about Swedish bakery?
Oh, treats? Yeah. My wife picked up some Swedish bakery stuff for us to share later on this morning. All right.
Share.
312. All right. Whenever, you can have it all, I guess. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Scott in Buena Park. Good morning, Scott. You're on WGN.
Hi. Good morning, Lou. How are you? This nice
terrific
morning.
Terrific. Terrific. I wish the windows opened up here.
Oh, you're not on the store. You're not on street level?
No, I'm not. Those windows don't open either.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I'm pretty nervous, and not only about talking with you, I'm nervous about a problem I have with my building. I'm scared that it's going to be a real headache to repair.
What's going on?
And I own and live in a jumbo brick, 1907 Prairie style three flat.
Okay.
So we live, myself and my husband, on the second floor, and we run out the other two floors. The bathroom underneath ours was showing water in the ceiling.
The bathroom so underneath yours, okay.
Yeah. So I thought it was coming from the toilet, so I reset the toilet with a new wax ring. That didn't help. It actually accelerated the problem. So I took out the ceiling of the bathroom underneath us, and there's a crack in the collar bend. You know, the piece that goes from the toilet to the soil.
Oh, in the old cast iron.
Yes, yes. And the plumbers say there's not enough room for them to get up there to put their molten lead to put a new piece in and seal it. It's too high into the floor up above. There's no access. I guess they use melted lead.
Right, to make
to put the new piece.
Right.
Yeah, and there's not enough room up there.
Okay, wait a minute. So the ceiling's open in the bathroom below.
Correct.
You can see, and at that point, you can see the toilet flange that is your toilet, and then the 90-degree bend.
Right.
That goes into the other piece of cast iron.
Correct.
Okay.
But the top third of that closet bend that goes into the stack, I can't even see.
Right.
It's almost, yeah.
Right. Okay. So there's a couple and of, the, go ahead.
What they'd like to do is come up from up above, from our bathroom. But we have those original, like, one-inch hexagon tile floors that's set in concrete.
Right.
And I have no idea how we'd be able to take that out and then put it back so it looks like it hadn't been messed with.
You won't. How about this? Did they talk at all about, instead of having that be cast iron, is making that whole transition in PVC and then connecting to the cast iron?
No.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Where that toilet flange comes down and it makes the bend, and then you have a horizontal pipe, correct?
It's one piece.
It's all one piece. But then
it's one piece.
But it goes to a vertical stack in the wall, correct?
Exactly.
All right. And there is a fitting right there that you can see?
Yeah, yes.
All the way around?
No, just the bottom two-thirds.
And you can't see the top because it goes up into the...
It almost looks like it's set into the concrete floor up above.
Oh, okay. You're not making this easy on me, Scott.
No.
Okay, here's what I would do, because this can work.
Okay.
In order to preserve your floor, my suggestion would be that entire piece of pipe from where your toilet is and the piece that goes to that vertical stack gets removed.
Right.
And they should be able to, where that concrete is, that's kind of the overspill from when they set the thing. That should be able to be chipped out and that collar completely exposed. Just from it has to be. And so then a fitting, there's a rubber fitting that will go into that collar to allow a plastic pipe to be set and everything put back, and that piece that leads to your toilet, and it's completely legal and safe and the whole nine yards, will get set in plastic and transition to the cast iron in the wall. That,
so you're saying the rubber fitting, the PVC is not as wide of a pipe, right?
It is not.
But, so it, that rubber
but,
fitting
but the rubber fitting will have to go, the rubber fitting will have to go in that collar, and whatever, if you see the cement there, that's the over, that's the overfill from when they put the floor upstairs. That can be chipped away. It should be able to, in my opinion, to expose the entire collar without harming your floor upstairs.
Right. Yeah.
And so, okay. Is this a plumber that you have used and trust?
Yeah, and I would get a couple other people for this situation.
So
too.
I would.
He was. I asked Lou. I'm sorry. I asked about a rubber fitting, and he wasn't sure that was a good thing to do. Where you have to seal, you know, put a drywall ceiling up. He thought maybe that was more for a commercial application, garages or commercial space.
Well, I mean, it works, and if it's installed properly, you'll have zero problem. The caveat in all this, Scott, is you don't want to ruin that floor.
Totally.
If you break up that floor is done. You're not going to match it. Yes, you could take it up from the top and you could fix it all there, but now you're going to put in a new floor. And so that whole beautiful vintage look that it sounds like you both like is going to be gone. And there is a way to do this from the bottom. You just need somebody that's a little more creative. Do me a favor. Okay. There's another set of plumbers that I want you to call. Call Plumbers 911.
Sure.
Plumbers911.com. is their website, and they are licensed union plumbers that do a lot of this vintage work, and I'm sure that there's one of those guys that can come out and figure out how to do this the right way and preserve your floor. It's actually not going to cost that much more, because if the ceiling's open and they can get underneath there, they should be able to access it and get it fixed for you, no problem. Scott, I appreciate the phone call. It is 7:23 in the morning. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Don't go away. Capiche?
Okay, great.
Say capiche, Pat.
Okay, thanks.
No, you're supposed to say capiche.
Capiche.
Atta girl. Thank you. I want to teach him a little Italian here. Is that so wrong?
How do you spell that?
C-A-P. No, it's not S-H. I'm going to have to, I don't know. Boy, no, thanks. I had this wonderful little Italian moment, and you just blew it for me.
Sorry.
Right, the guys at the Italian Sports Hall of Fame were all standing at attention going, hey, look at that, he speaks a little Italian, and that's it. Thanks a lot. I miss you, Steve. 7:25 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here still cracks me up. Dave in OKC. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Lou? Nice to talk to you.
How's Oklahoma City? What are you doing there?
Hey, I'm working for a great American company that you might be aware of. It's called Vactor Guzzler Manufacturing out of Streeter, Illinois. I deliver their trucks, so I'm on the road quite a bit.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm heading into Los Angeles with a truck. I pulled over just to ask you a question. My wife and I are doing a vintage trailer remodel. We want to put in the product called Marmolium. Are you familiar with
it? Oh, yeah, Marmolium Click.
Yeah, that's the one I'm interested in, the Click product.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, you seen some of the colors that they have?
Well, that's why we're interested in it. We've been in some trailers that have had the original in it. We wanted to see if we could duplicate that with, you know, the color.
Marmolium is a product that is manufactured by a company called Forbo. Forbo is one of the original linoleum manufacturers. I think they've been around for like 125 years or something like that. They're still based out on the East Coast somewhere. I want to say Connecticut or Jersey or something like that. And that I fell in love with that Marmolium Click probably 10 years ago. I met the woman who was the marketing director at the International Builders Show, and I thought it was the neatest, coolest stuff ever. And the beauty part of that linoleum and that Marmolium Click, Dave, is that it is a repairable surface. So if you nicked it or did some kind of damage to it, I mean, in a trailer, I mean, you know, it's potential, right? You walk in, you got a piece of gravel on your boot or something like that. There's a repair kit that you can bring it back to life. But it's super durable. It would be a great application. Is this a trailer that's going to roll down the road?
Yeah, we're full-time RVers.
All right. Well, then, you know, the nice thing about the Click is it doesn't use glue, so you get a little bit of movement out of it because the floor is going to move a little bit, you know? And I think it's a perfect application for what you're doing. And it's an even better application for a home.
How about the thickness, Lou? I've got carpeting, really a good quality carpeting down right now.
Well, you're probably, I'm trying to remember now. I mean, I'm going to say it's a little less than 3/8. You know, it's okay. Probably 5/16. So you may want to put some type of, you know, to get the matching of the carpeting, you may need to screw down an underlayment to get you to the right level.
I have underneath the carpeting is almost brand new hardwood floors. The guy that originally did the trailer put hardwood floor down.
Wow.
And then we went carpeting over the top of that. So there's a couple layers. You know, I've got room to work with. I was wondering if I should take both layers out and put the marmoleum in, you know, go back down to the original subflooring, or if I can just pull the carpeting up and put it over, you know, the hardwood floor.
Well, remember, the marmoleum Click just lies there, so it doesn't get glued down. So the one thing is, if you wanted to, you know, I don't know if weight matters to you, but certainly if you take up the hardwood floor, it's going to be a little bit lighter, and you could put an underlayment down, screw it down. You may end up, you know, now you're raising everything up if you keep going up, 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 up. So it depends on how much work you want to do. But you could definitely go right on top of that hardwood and probably have to put some type of either transition piece or another, you know, probably like a 1/4-inch piece or maybe a 3/8-inch of plywood there to then put that marmoleum Click. I'm telling you, if you're thinking about a flooring and you want to do something really cool, Google Marmoleum Click by a company called Forbo. Quick break, and we'll be back with news. That's a beautiful name, Myrna. I love that.
I love you, Lou.
I love you, Myrna.
I love you more.
He's more than just a pretty face. Now back to Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. When I need
motivation, my one solution. Hi, everybody. 7:37 in the morning. I have the best Noodaloo 2 coming up. You know how I get excited about some of these? I'm very excited about this one. And I have lots of comments about it. One of which is it's really expensive.
But
I think you should buy it.
I cannot wait to try it. I haven't tried this yet.
I know.
I
know, and I got the thing to test it out, and there was much consternation in my home when I started in this project. Like that
word?
I know. You know, I went to Milligan University. So it was good. Hey, Sam, or did Sam get up? Sammy, you got a lovely lady in your life?
I do, yes.
But you live south, right?
Yeah.
We went out to dinner last night, Lindsay. This is good for you. You're a suburban girl. In Evanston, we went to this place called the Smile Brothers Brewery.
I've heard of it.
Smile with a Y.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Sam. It'd be a nice place to take a lady.
The lady, not a lady. Be careful. She might be listening.
Okay. The lady.
She loves you.
I love her.
Easy.
Wait, are there people listening? Hey, it was a really cool place. You've heard of it?
I have.
And it's a brewery. Mm-hmm. They brew their own beer. And it kind of, you know what they had? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this because this is what it's called. It's got to be some kind of old factory or warehouse. And it kind of, you feel like you're in Colorado or Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Kind of has that look. Mm-hmm. And in the center of this giant room, what do they have?
A tree.
A big ass fan. That's what it's called. The giant, huge fan. You know the ones? Remember those?
I do.
And it's kind of a smokehouse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good.
Ooh,
and the beer, for you, the vegetarian, I'm sure there's options. There was. We had some veggies.
I had a burger the other night.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
I just had a craving.
Is there something you want to tell us?
I know.
When you eat burgers.
I know, but this is not that case. I was pregnant,
I've been gone for 2 weeks.
I know, but we went to this place in Arizona where I was traveling, and mm-hmm. it was apparently all the rage. Everyone was talking about it, so I really wanted one.
And
it was so good.
Just curious. You started to say, when you eat burgers, dot, dot, dot.
She's pregnant.
Oh, when I would.
She craves cheese, McDonald's cheeseburgers. That's how long I've known you.
Mm-hmm.
You were a single woman when we started working together.
Yeah.
Like complaining about your boyfriend.
Yes.
That you had broken up with, who's
guy.
Now your husband.
Yeah. Yeah. That one.
I was like a therapist, Sam. I'm like, well, you know, guys.
I didn't come in on Saturday.
You know, guys are, you know, he's, I'm sure he's a nice guy and he's a lovely man. He's a saint, as I tell him. Being married to you. So what did I say? Oh, and when she's pregnant, she craves McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Mm-hmm. But I really wanted one. And I, you know what?
I'm just saying. One. What?
I'm not, but.
All right.
I said I
so
just really wanted one and I loved it.
Three,
I'm
one,
not going anywhere with it, but
okay.
I just had one.
All right. 312. Anyway, so try out this Smile Brothers Brewery in Evanston. It was good. It was really good. We had a nice time. We had a lovely time with our friends Dave and Paul. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Paul in Chicago. Paul, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Well, my husband and I bought a condo, 12th floor, and we're looking for something for the flooring throughout, living room, dining room, bedrooms, kitchen, and we like the idea of cork. And the person before us was talking about marmoleum.
Mm-hmm.
We found a marmoleum we liked, but it was a square. And we didn't like the way that looked for that large a surface.
You mean the tiles were square?
The tiles were square.
Yeah. They do make a plank version too.
We thought so, and this particular pattern they didn't.
Okay.
And so now we're in our minds, we're thinking cork, and we're thinking something that looks like that one did. It wasn't. It didn't look like wood. It didn't have large knots.
Mm-hmm. I love cork. I love cork. It is a flooring that not a lot of people consider, and the thing is that everyone's like, oh, cork. There are engineered cork systems that are similar to that marmoleum that you're looking at. So it's because it's bonded to a rigid material on the bottom, it's super durable. Mm-hmm. And cork also is a repairable surface. Now, you do have to be, I don't want to say you have to be careful, but you just got to be smart. You know, you can't be rollerblading around the house,
sure.
You know, which, Paul, I don't know if that's something you like to do, but you're going to have to stop.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have any children running around?
No.
Okay. So
no.
Okay. But I mean, even pets, it doesn't bother me because part of what happens with the cork, with the finishes, over time, it gets this natural kind of patina and texture from the wear. You know what I mean? That gives it kind of a richness and a uniqueness. Not unlike, I'm sure you've been to homes where people have soapstone countertops or sinks, and you know they get kind of that natural look where you'll see a little shading and whatever, and it's part of the whole look. Now, the one thing I will tell you with the cork is you got to be very careful about the color that you choose, because you go dark, it can really change the look of a home. And what I would tell you is if you're going to do this throughout the home, be mindful of how the floor goes down and try and use transitions between the rooms. Meaning that if you're going to use like a cork tile and you're going to do it throughout the home and you go into, you said it's a condo?
It is.
Okay.
It's about 1,300 square feet.
Okay. And you've got like bedrooms off of a main hallway or whatever?
Yes.
Okay. What I'm talking about is, so imagine you have a hallway, and let's just assume you choose a cork with a planking system, right? Lindsay, we talked to somebody a while ago.
I put it up on your screen.
You're so good.
10 years.
10 years. Okay. Paul, do you have a pencil?
I do.
All right. www.usfloorsllc.com. U.S.
Okay.
Floors, plural. LLC.com. They are probably the preeminent cork supplier, but this is what I'm talking about. So you've got this, say your hallway, you're going to go with a plank system and it's going the length of the hallway. Okay. And you've got bedrooms going off of that. With the same cork, I want a little piece that goes across the threshold of the door at the same level. It doesn't have to be a like a you know, like a strip that's elevated or anything like that. But that transition piece allows you flexibility. If there was ever a problem with the floor, you wouldn't have to take up the other room or pieces of it to fix something. You could just do that room.
Okay.
When it's all down, you won't even know it's there. But if you ever had a problem where, oh, this separated, or this one particular plank got damaged and I can't repair it and I need to replace it, well, then a flooring contractor can go click, 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 put a new piece down, click, 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 put it back, and you're done.
Okay.
I love cork. It's not used enough. It's not used enough. But I would also tell you, search out Marmoleum under the Forbo brand, because I think you're going to...
F-O-R-B
is the parent manufacturer, and I believe it's Forbo.com. You search out that floor, you're going to love how that stuff looks. It is fabulous. Thanks so much for the phone call. 7:46 in the morning. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, if you have Wi-Fi in your home and it never works, you are going to have to listen to this Noodaloo 2. We'll be right back. All right, it's time now for our Noodaloo 2. Lindsay sent me this this product, and she goes, what do you think about this? And I searched it, and I looked at it, and I said, no way. There is no way we are doing this Noodaloo 2. It is too expensive. I'm telling you, I changed my mind. Take a listen.
Wi-Fi is the new electricity, the foundation of the digital home. We rely on it to work, stream our favorite movies and TV shows, and connect with the people we love. But come on, it's broken. Confusing setup, painful passwords, ugly equipment, and customer service that rivals the DMV. And no matter how powerful a single router is, it's never going to cover your whole house. It's like asking a loudspeaker in your living room to provide great sound throughout your house. You need Wi-Fi access points distributed throughout so that you're always close to one. Well, with this week's new Noodaloo 2, the Eero, you plug one device into your modem and then you add additional Eeros that just need power from a standard outlet. They automatically connect to each other to create a wireless mesh network. It's apparently easy peasy to install. They actually have a blog post up right now on their site on a sweet little lady named Betsy who's 88 and found the setup to be a breeze. No more buffering, no more dead zones. Finally, Wi-Fi that actually works. A little pricey. One pod goes for $199. Three-pack, $499. You can find out more at Eero, Eero.com or on Amazon. That's this week's New to Lose 2.
The way you said $4.99, it's like $4.99. It's not $4.99 like $5. It's $499.
I know.
Is it the most expensive thing we've ever done on a Noodaloo 2?
We have done the Vitamix, which is pretty pricey too. Yeah. But I don't even think that's $500.
It's not $500 for a mixer. Okay, so Lindsay sends me, so these are little, how would I describe it? They're flat. They're the size of a small saucer. Okay, a little more, not round, but kind of square. The Wi-Fi in our house, we have Comcast. We have the X1, and their router is also the Wi-Fi. It's up in our office. The work computer is plugged directly into it. The internet works fine. But the Wi-Fi in our house is spotty at best. Mm-hmm. And I've bought those extenders in the past, and they're just crappy. They don't work, and they lose their connection. And so this Eeros, is that how you say it?
Eero. Just singular.
You plug one of them into your existing router. So you plug in the Cat5, and you plug in the power. You download the app. It says, all right, there it is. I see it. What do you want to call it? All right, so I put whatever. I called it the first floor Eero. Then you go to the next one. This is a three-pack. We put it in the family room. In the basement, where our internet service was always terrible, I put one in the basement. So the whole idea is these things are communicating. They are the internal web for your Wi-Fi. That's kind of the philosophy behind all this. Mallory, who complained about the web, the internet service all the time in her bedroom, and she, you know, these kids all use tablets for homework and stuff. She's just a lot of reading, a lot of stuff online on these tablets. She's like, oh, in my bedroom, it's terrible. Not anymore.
You are kidding.
It's unbelievable. My office is in the basement where my computer connects to the internet via the Wi-Fi, and it did before. And I had one of those extenders in the basement, mm-hmm. and every now and then I'd get kicked off the network. You're in the middle of working, all of a sudden,
yes.
no connection. I'm like,
that's a daily occurrence.
Right, and so I'm like reconnecting. So now I put this thing in, and I have one downstairs in the basement on one of the ledges. You're supposed to put it kind of elevated, you know, like tabletop height. The other two you just plug in. So they wirelessly communicate together and boost your signal. It even has a test, so I can test the speed on the app to say, oh, your internet speed's super fast. And our Wi-Fi, you have to do nothing to your Wi-Fi. In other words, you don't have to change the name. You don't have to do anything.
You don't have to call the provider.
Once you click it all together, it's just like this enhancer.
I am dying to try this.
It's $500.
Yeah. But you think, like, so your house, I guess, does everybody need three, or can some people just
I think you could probably get away with, no, you need two.
Or two.
You have to have, because the one connects to your router, and that's the, I guess, the parent. Mm-hmm. And then you place the other one wherever it is. And so the concept, as I was reading all this, how to set it up, is that if it's possible for them to see each other or be unobstructed towards each other, that's the best. So in your home, we were talking about this earlier, you have a tri-level, mm-hmm. and your router is down in the basement, mm-hmm. and then that staircase, you know, kind of comes up. Like, if you could put it, you know where you have your television set? I know no one can describe it. Like, you know where you have your TV and that uh-huh. countertop in your house?
I do.
So Lindsay has a tri-level. You walk in her front door. I'm going to describe her house.
Okay.
Her home phone number. No.
Do you want my address?
Her kitchen's to the left, right as you walk in. There's a little hallway and then a set of stairs. Tri-level. Stairs go down, stairs go up. And then you have a family room and dining room area, right? Mm-hmm. Living room, dining room area.
Yes.
And as you walk in, there's a wall and she has a television to the left hanging on the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Or on the wall. Hanging on the ceiling. She likes to lie on her back when she watches television. It's weird, I know, but she's weird. She eats cheeseburgers the whole time. So the television's on the wall, and then you have, there a piece of furniture?
Like console table.
Right, lower.
Yeah.
You'd put it there.
Put it there, and then one up on this on our...
No. Then you would just have, if you were going to buy the two, okay. which is $199, right? No, how much is two?
Well, I don't, that I'm a little confused, because it says a single is $199, but do you have to buy two to get the
single must be two.
Okay.
It must be.
Well, but the $4.99 is a three. Is considered
that doesn't
a
make sense.
Pack, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I can take my shoes off. Anyway, I would do two.
Okay.
So you'd have the one where it's at.
But what about upstairs? I want Wi-Fi upstairs too.
But you'll get it because it'll go right up the stairs. So the whole thing, it's boosting it,
that
bringing
is
it
so
up.
So cool.
Yeah. So check it out. It's up on our Facebook page. We'll also put it up on our website as well. It's cool. It's expensive. No questions asked. But it really has made a huge difference in the connectivity in our home. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll get back to your phone calls right after these. Don't go away.
So I shouldn't worry then about the screen because I can raise it up high.
It's Saturday morning.
I'm still thinking I can collect debris on the bottom part of the sill.
And you're listening to Lou.
Kathy,
yes.
Are you a lady that looks for things to worry about?
And the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I do.
You are, yeah.
Now back to the man himself.
Kathy, look for something else to worry about.
Lou Manfredini.
There's got to be something else that you can worry about. This is not anything you need to worry about.
On Chicago's very own.
Love you, Kathy.
Love you, Lou.
720 WGN.
Plenty of other things to worry about, my friends. Hi, it's Lou Manfredini. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show at 8:11 in the morning. 8:12, as a matter of fact. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and by Fox Home Center. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Coming up after 8:30 this morning, we're going to be joined by the president of the Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. One last talk about the auto show and everything you can find there on the floor and what Chevy has in store for you. John Alfirovich will join us after the 8:30 news this morning. Let's get back to your phone calls. 312-981-7200, and this is Holden in Winnetka. Holden, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, how can I help you?
I have a house that's 20s arts and bungalow style that was gut rehabbed in about 10 years ago, at which time we replaced the two water heaters with 250-gallon hot water heaters. And when I get in the shower, and I notice it especially in the winter, so I'm wondering if it's perception or it's functionality, but I can't get through like a 10-minute shower without the hot water starting to fade, and then it eventually just goes away, and we can't get two adults to shower through, you know, a reasonable time frame.
With two 50-gallon water heaters.
Yeah, and I don't know if one supplies the downstairs and one the upstairs or how it works, but and, they're just struggling.
Remind me the age of the water heaters.
They are about 10 years old.
No, that puts us, okay. All right, couple things. The average life of a water heater in the United States is 7 to 10 years. Now, when I say that, people are like, oh, he's crazy. Why does he say that? Well, there's a lot of places that have really hard water, and some places you don't even get 2 years out of a water heater. So that's the average life. Over time, there's something inside of a water heater called a dip tube. And my guess is your dip tube is deteriorated. Not trying to offend you. But essentially what that does is, if you can imagine, you have two pipes in a water heater, and one is the cold that fills it back up, and the hot is what comes out when you turn on the hot water. There's a tube where that pipe connects at the top that drives the cold water to the bottom of the tank, and you're drawing, under pressure, the physics of the hot water at the top. But when that dip tube deteriorates, it gets little holes in it. And so as you're using the water, it's introducing the cold water at the top of the tank, which is why you're getting cold water quicker.
Okay.
Now, you could have a plumber come and take apart the water heater and put in a new dip tube, but you're doing that to a 10-year-old water heater. How many bathrooms in this home, Holden?
3.5.
How many people in this home?
2 adults and 2 children.
Okay. If it were me, I would take both of those out, and I would install an on-demand water heater.
On-demand water heater.
It's going to be the size of a rolling suitcase. And you, are you friendly with your neighbors?
Yes.
Okay. You and the other 3 people in your home can take a shower, and you can invite all the neighbors over to take a shower at your place and say, come on, more people, who wants to take a shower? The water's hot. And
okay,
here's the thing. Based on you having 2 water heaters, the cost to put in a tankless will be the same money. If you were going to replace what you had, you'd spend about $3,000 on a plumber to do this.
Okay.
You can do the same thing with an on-demand water heater, and you'll have more storage space, and you won't run out of hot water.
For about the same price?
For about the same price. Do you have a pencil or a pen?
I do.
The manufacturer I want you to look at is a maker called Navion. Navion.
Okay.
You get that at a plumbing supply house. But, you know, if you get a licensed plumber, you have somebody you're working with. If they tell you, Holden, oh, you know, I'm really not a fan of these on-demand water heaters, get a different plumber.
Okay.
Okay, because that is not even an argument any longer. And with these Navion units, the beauty of it is, it used to be that you had to change the size of the gas meter and the piping that you go. These Navion units run off of a 3/4-inch line. They have stainless steel heat exchangers. This is important. If you end up not going with the Navion, make sure that whatever product you go with, they say it has a stainless steel heat exchanger.
Okay. Right. And I don't have to retrofit the house for that. It will just drop.
You got to redo. They got to redo a couple little pipes, you know, because you have 2 water heaters that now we're going to form into one. From a little bit of piping, but it isn't anything major.
Okay.
You're going to be amazed at how much room you have in the basement.
And do the Navions come in different capacities, or
they
is
do.
It just a single?
They do.
All right, great.
All right.
Thanks, Lou.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning, Holden. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 8:17 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Problems around your home keeping you up all night?
I have a brick ranch house. I notice that when it snows, the snow disappears on the roof.
Fear not. You're tuned into the right station.
I got an 1.5-inch PVC discharge line, and it got frozen.
Hey, on this show, you might just get lucky if Lou can answer your question. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:22 in the morning. The Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's Art. Hey, Art, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good, sir. How can I help you?
Well, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I installed a remote control doorbell. I'm having a problem with
remote. Wait. Remote control or wireless?
Wireless.
Okay.
And it'll work for 2-3 days. It stops working. Sometimes the batteries go dead. Sometimes they don't. The manufacturer sent me a new push button. I've checked all the batteries repeatedly. They also suggested I put some wood behind the push button on the bell. I did that. Batteries went dead in a couple of days. Do you have any suggestions?
Wait a minute. So you've got a battery in the push button.
Right.
What size what is it, a AAA or what is it?
The push button has got a button battery. Oh. Actually, it has two.
Two button batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it mounted to?
It's mounted to the wall outside the door.
Which is like a wood piece of wood trim, or what's it mounted to?
It's a piece of wood trim. There is siding on the house that's under that, but.
And you're convinced it's a battery issue?
No, I'm not convinced it's a battery issue because I've replaced batteries 3 or 4 times, and they last a couple of days, and then they're dead.
All right, and where is the button versus the receiver, you know, where the bell is, how close are they?
6-7 feet.
Oh, okay, so that's not an issue. Where'd you buy this thing?
I bought it at Menards.
All right, take it back. Do you still have the box and the receipt?
Yes.
You got a bum unit. And, I mean, you shouldn't be. These things are fail-safe. We sell these at our hardware store all the time at the Ace, and I can't even remember the last time we got one that came back that was a problem. You just got a bum unit. So I would just take it back, take your receipt there, buy another one, you know, and try it that way. These things are really kind of goof-proof, and there's some electronics thing going on. Because you'll put a new battery in, and all of a sudden it'll work, and you said, like, for a day, and it's gone.
Yeah.
And the batteries, when you're on the push button, is there a cover on the back? So the battery, they're not exposed at all, right, when you put it all together?
No, they're not. There's it's plastic, and there's a backing on it, too, as well as a piece of wood. The last thing I did when I put the wood behind it was that I used plywood, and the manufacturer said, oh, it's probably because it's the plywood.
That makes no sense. Makes zero sense. That's like somebody making stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes no sense. Take the thing back, get a new one. Let me ask you this. Do you stick around the house a lot, or do you travel at all? Do you leave the house for a few days?
No, we're usually around here.
All right. Do you have Wi-Fi in your home?
Yes.
All right. You know, there's a doorbell called Ring, which is a camera-ready doorbell.
Mm.
The doorbell has a video camera. And you put it, do you have a smartphone?
No, I don't.
All right, well, do you want one?
Well.
My point is, with these Rings, it's a wireless doorbell like you have. But it also has a camera. And if you were sitting on a couch on your computer or a laptop or something like that, when the doorbell rings or a smartphone, it pops up and you can see who's at the front door.
Okay.
And you can actually communicate with them. You could be in Florida and the doorbell would ring and the thing would pop up and you'd say, oh, I'm in the shower. Now, why you're answering the phone in the shower makes no sense, but you know what I mean?
I understand.
Costs a little bit more, but I would take that unit back. Go get a new one, pop it in there, and I bet you'll have zero problems. And if you're feeling like you want to try something else, go to your local Ace, and they'll have a nice one there for you as well. 8:27 in the morning. Quick break, and we'll be back right after this. This is Ellie in Skokie. Ellie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I've got a lot of questions. Eventually, we're going to sell the house. Not while my husband is still here, because he'll stay here forever. He won't empty out the basement.
With Lou Manfredini.
But I'm planning ahead.
Wait, are you listening to what you just said?
On Chicago's very own.
Right. Okay. I mean, in the world.
720 WGN.
She can say in her voice, in her way, that she loves me.
Our own Chance the Rapper here in Chicago, winning three Grammys, or nominated for three Grammys. I think he won two. Congratulations to Chicago's very own. It is 8:37 in the morning. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. I am joined in studio by John Ofirovich and his beautiful daughter, Olivia. John is the president of the Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers here in Chicago. Full disclosure, I am a paid spokesperson for the folks at Chevrolet, and John is technically my boss. And But we asked John to come in this morning, and I'm a proud Chevy driver. My Chevy Tahoe, which I love. It's fantastic. Great. I really do like that. Pull that microphone real close to you there so we can hear you. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. And I tell you what, thank you, WGN, Lou, yourself, Ro, everybody. It's just fantastic with the show, the prep for the show. It's just an amazing job you do.
I had a chance, my wife and I, we've for a number of years now have been able to go to the First Look of Charity event that the dealers host, which is really a spectacular event. We're very connected to the folks at Misericordia. They have a room. There's all these wonderful charities where you, the dealers, all the dealers, not just Chevrolet, right? All it's because this auto show is a function of all of the auto dealers in the Chicagoland area, correct?
Correct. We have 18 charities, and this year we raised $2.8 million. Money's still coming in, so
Wow. We're
hoping maybe we'll hit that three or above, and all the charities benefit.
It's really a wonderful event, and that show is gigantic. Now, is it the biggest one in North America? Is that right?
That plus the auto show itself, largest in attendance, and yes, it's
wow.
The biggest one. And I'll tell you what, it gets better every year. The show is sparkling. It's fantastic. The technology, everybody has fun. There's something for
everyone. Yeah. And now something that you guys do at Chevrolet is you have this, and you've had it for a number of years, is this fun zone. So obviously, if anybody's never been to an auto show, I mean, there's all the different manufacturers are showing their cars and what they have, and certainly Chevrolet is there, and, you know, the other Ford and Chrysler and all the foreign companies and whatnot. But I think you guys are the only ones that do this fun zone, right? Talk a little bit about that.
We're the only ones. Yeah, we have an LMA, which is Local Marketing Advertising Group, led by Mike Hillstrom and Mike DeMaio, and the reason we're number one in Chicagoland for 6 years and running is these two guys do a great job for us. And yeah, that's just to add a benefit. They get down there. We have our own little fun zone. People come down. Chevrolet has a phenomenal display. And if people want to have some fun, they hit our south fun zone. And we have our Chicago Blackhawks street team there. We'll have, if you want to come today, we have Dennis Savard. He'll be there
from noon
to 12. And tomorrow, Sunday and Monday, we have we have Dennis Carcillo, Carbomb. He's always entertaining. And, of course, our own very own Dan Hampton. And I tell you, I've, over the years, got to know Dan, and he's been great for Chevy, and what a guy.
Oh, yeah, he's terrific.
Multi-talented.
Now,
he was out at the First Look.
He was. My wife and I walk up, and there they are performing. You guys had him up on stage. I talked about this the next day because the First Look was on a Friday night, right?
Right.
And I said, there's Dan, who can sing, and Steve McMichael, too.
How about
you would have never known, right?
Otis Wilson.
These guys really have beautiful, but they really have nice voices. And there's Dan Hampton up there. I think he plays the bass. I said, that bass looked like he was holding a ukulele in his hand, right? He's such he's still a giant.
He is a big man.
They really were terrific. It was a lot of fun. But I want to ask you some questions. So
Sure. When
people go to the auto show, the people that they're going to talk to at these exhibits, like in your Chevy exhibit there with all your cars, right? Are they factory people, or are they local representatives from dealerships across the country or across the Chicagoland area?
Well, a combination. There's factory people, there's engineers, there's salespeople, all in collaboration to inform people on our products.
Right.
So, if there's a question you have, you're going to find it out at the auto show.
And it's really, and in a way, I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, I mean, your industry gets a bad rap sometimes. They're like, oh, you know, I go to a car dealer and they're pressuring me to buy and this and that. And those days are kind of gone.
Yeah, they're changing.
Yeah, they're changing a lot. But here, there's no pressure. It's about information to learn about what these things can do.
Absolutely. No pressure. Actually, the cars are all owned by the manufacturer, and there's franchise laws out there. You know, you really cannot purchase a car at the auto show.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, that's your information gathering if you're in the market for a car. And actually, 60% of people that are there, we survey, and they're in search of a car for next 12 months or so.
And for you guys, I mean, sticking with the Chevy line, I know that the benefit of the Chevy Bolt, that brand new car, is your all electric car that won. Is it the Motor Trend Car of the Year?
It's now recently the North American Car of the Year,
right?
Motor Trend Car of the Year, Best Driver.
And that car is not even at your dealerships yet. So this is an opportunity. I'm sure you guys as dealers have seen it, but now it's a chance for consumers to go and sit in it and look at it and whatever.
Correct. A ton of technology in this car. It's on our runway. We'll see that car probably in July, August of this year.
Right.
And they're selling there out in California, and people are loving it. It's a game changer. It's roughly 230 miles.
Amazing.
To a charge.
That's
yes.
Amazing. Okay. And overall, so I mean, we talk about Chevrolet, obviously, and I talk about this as well. That this local dealer group that you guys have is something unique within the industry, because not all the other makers of cars have this kind of group where you guys, I mean, you're running your own businesses. You're there in Apple Chevrolet down on the south side, right, in Tinley?
Tinley Park.
Tinley Park, right? So you're there. Well, but I mean, but the point is that, and there's other, you know, Chevy dealers across the Chicagoland area. Mm-hmm. And in a way, you guys compete against each other, but at the same time, you work together to bring the information, to let people know. I mean, I read these spots all the time where, hey, you can go buy an Equinox and save $6,000 or whatever it is. And so that kind of information to the consumer helps them make a better choice.
Yeah, it localizes us. We tend with the LMA to find our influencers in Chicago, such as, you know, yourself, our sports figures. We do a phenomenal job with Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews. People love them, men and women alike. And we bring them on our team, and they help lift the Chevrolet brand.
Now, you brought your beautiful daughter Olivia with you. She's sitting right next to you. Does Dad make you work in the dealership? You got to talk right in that microphone. Does he have you working?
He does.
Yeah. What does he have you do there?
I work in the office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're making sure that, I mean, is he good with the numbers, or do you have to check all those numbers and make sure?
No, they're pretty good. They're really good.
She's excellent with our customers. She puts a smile on everybody.
I bet. That's awesome. Now tell me, how long have you been in the car business?
Oh, gosh, what a question. 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And for a lot of your dealers, especially with that Chevy brand, that's kind of a repeating story, right? You've got a lot of people that have been in this business, like family legacies, right?
Absolutely. A majority of our dealers are passed on, and the very hardworking men and women out there. I'll tell you, we have meetings, and sometimes you feel, you know, someone's not worthy of a dealership. But boy, we whip them up in shape and hurry.
Right, yeah, right. I've got the pleasure to know a lot of these the dealers over the years. I mean, certainly when I got involved working with the Chevy dealers, it was with Ray Scarpelli Sr., who had your position many years ago, and then his son Ray Jr. was in that as well. And I mean, yeah. Ray Sr. has been a Chevy dealer, I think, since the early 60s, right? And there's other examples of that, the Phelans and all these guys that have been around a long time. So that it's a true business where you're connected to the community and have been around a long time. I think it's, you know, those are the kinds of people that I like to do business with, and I think a lot of people do too as well.
Yeah, Chevy dealers get out there. They do a lot of grassroots things for their communities, barbecues, USO, fundraising, charities. They bring it back home to their hometown.
Now, you said a couple things about Roe when you came in. I don't want to talk about that in the air, but we'll talk about that later. There's a few things I can help you with him, right? Because, you know, I'll give you some pointers.
Okay, good. I need them. I need something. I got to get a leg up on Roe.
Exactly. So the auto show goes until Monday, is that right?
Until Monday. Monday, we're open until 10 o'clock this evening.
Wow.
10 o'clock on Sunday and 8 o'clock on Monday.
All right, that's great.
And, you know, just, the weather's going to be great. There's going to be a ton of people. Parking is going to be best served at Millennium Park. If we can get, traffic flow out there. You have door-to-door shuttle service.
They've got shuttle services, right.
And if you go to chicagoautoshow.com, you can pick up a discounted ticket. And I would highly advise that traffic route.
John Ofirovich, are you the president of Apple Chevrolet? Is that your
president of Apple Chevrolet and the LMA
president?
Right now?
And the president of the Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers, and his much smarter, prettier daughter, right here, Olivia, join us. Thanks so much for coming in this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
You got it. All right, go. Just remember, see the USA in a Chevrolet. Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I'm a part-time bartender, and we have a problem with fruit flies. I pour a drink, and all of a sudden there's a fruit fly in his drink. He won't drink it. So I said, well, they're not that bad, so if I like the drink, I'll drink it myself, but I can only drink.
Hey, look, mister. We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Sing us a song tonight. Well, we're all in the morning.
Welcome back, Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show, 852 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's Jim in Lake Geneva. Hey, Jim, you're on WGN.
Hello, Lou.
Hello, sir.
Thank you. I have a toilet issue. Every once in a while, the toilet just sort of intermittently runs some water for about 3 or 4 seconds and then stops. Now, I replaced with a corky valve, rubber valve down there, flapper.
Out of Burlington, Wisconsin?
Yes, Lake Geneva.
Oh, Lake Geneva. Well, you're in Lake Geneva, but the Corky, isn't it in Burlington, Wisconsin?
Oh, gosh, I don't know where they
are. Yeah, I think they are.
Well, then the thing should be working, right?
Well, we should hope so, right?
Yeah, but anyway.
Jim, let me ask you something. When you say it runs a little water, it runs in the bowl or you hear it in the tank?
It runs from the tank into the bowl.
Oh, okay. All right. And you see it or you hear it?
Yes, I hear it, and I could see the water floating down into the tank, into the bowl also.
Okay. When you replace the flapper, did you clean that little ring that it sits in?
Yes, it was pretty good. It was good. It wasn't any anything about that.
Okay.
So then I replaced that little rubber valve in the fill valve area. I replaced that thing, and it seemed to help a little bit, not intermittently going running as frequently, but it still does that. So I'm wondering if I have to take that whole flapper thing off and replace that whole system there.
When it does this... how often does it do it?
Well, since I replaced that little rubber valve in the fill valve, it does it maybe once every couple hours.
Oh, okay.
But previously, it was doing it like every 10 minutes.
Okay. What it sounds like to me is there's something is misshapen where the flapper, meets the little collar there. So here's what we can do to test this out. Are you a fisherman?
No.
All right.
Guys go out on Lake Geneva on the frozen ice.
I know. Do you got a little workshop or anything like that? Do you have any?
Yes.
My question is, do you have any metal washers?
Yes.
All right. I want you to take the lid off the tank, and I want you to take a couple of metal washers, and I want you to put it right on top of the flapper.
Oh, give us some extra weight, yeah.
And I want you to just see, if you do that, if it stops.
Okay.
If it does, you know, like, hey, I've done that. You know, I mean, you have another bathroom that you can use and not use this one?
Yes.
Okay, so do that. Test it out. If all of a sudden that works, then shut the water off in the toilet. Take that flapper off. Dry it. Okay?
Okay.
Take a little silicone and glue a galvanized or, in a perfect world, a stainless steel. Or that's what I was saying. What works great is a little fishing weight, like a lead weight.
Yeah,
with
right.
a little dab of silicone caulking right on top of that flapper. Glue it on, right. Let it sit, put it back in.
Okay, that sounds good. Better than taking the whole flapper system apart.
That's my Babe Winkleman fix, and it should work out just fine for you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Yes,
I want to talk to you.
Oh, how can I help you?
We got a call.
Yeah.
About our friends at Eero.
Oh, the our Noodaloo 2, which is the thing to
Wi-Fi
make sure
web.
Your Wi-Fi works in your house.
The CEO is 28. He is a Nutrier graduate.
Really?
Went to Stanford and developed this product in his dorm room.
Wow.
How cool is that?
He's a local guy. We love the local guy.
I love it. I couldn't believe that I didn't know this before. The PR woman didn't tell me that.
You talked to somebody from the PR people?
Email, yes.
Oh, via email. And they knew we were talking about this in Chicago?
Yes.
Wow.
How
That's
cool.
That's the kind of stuff that we need to know.
I know.
Wow.
Proud.
And where are they based out of?
San Francisco.
Oh, that's where all that tech stuff is.
All that cool stuff is.
That's cool. Local kid does well.
Love
so
it.
There, go help support this kid. Poor guy's never going to make
and
it.
This woman that called, her son works for...
The company.
The company now.
Wow, that's awesome.
And he went to Hinsdale. helping people.
Do we know where the name came from?
No, that is...
Nobody had that information?
Nobody
Eros?
Gave me that.
It's got to be...
Singular.
Wait. Eero. Wait, didn't you Eero. Give me the... Wait, you gave me some information on these Yahoos.
I did.
What'd I do with it?
I probably threw it away.
Well, that's not... Don't tell them that. They're
well,
like,
you
wow.
Just, you or
hold
recycle.
On. I recycled. Wait, because there was a picture of him.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
Easy.
I know, you know me.
Yeah, she likes the young men. Poor David.
Well, I mean, he's not that much younger than me.
How do you know?
Because he's 28.
Oh, he's 28. You're 30? What?
I mean, he's like a little younger than me.
312-981-7200 is our
Take
phone number.
Break.
Quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Love is a burning thing.
9:09 in the morning. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show until 10.
A fiery ring.
And John Williams comes in. Sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Bound Systems and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I could listen to this song all day. Let's see here. This is Mary in Aurora. Hi, Mary. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. I called a couple of weeks ago. I have sewer flies from the drain where my washer used to be in a closet on the main floor, and I moved the washer and dryer to the garage, and I turned the closet into a pantry.
Okay.
You told me to use Pine Sol and like a toilet brush.
A tube brush or a toilet brush, yeah.
Yeah, right. And then I was having fewer of them, but I was still having them. So my first thought was
Lou doesn't
human
know
error.
What he's talking about.
No. I always think, okay, I didn't get this right. I think the problem is that the drain is longer
than
my brush.
Okay.
So
let me ask you this.
Things.
So now sure. This room is no longer there's no washer and dryer in there.
Correct.
So that floor drain, we don't need it anymore.
Correct. But you know, what if I, you know, if I sell the house?
No, I understand. Okay. Now, the floor drain, when I'm looking at the floor, what is the thing I have on the top? Is it something you can pop off?
There's one plank. I got those porcelain plank floors from Floor and Decor. Awesome. I get bowl in my house.
How good is your game?
If I understood handicaps, I would just say handicap. One of the planks can come off, and I pretty much have access to almost the entire circumference of the drain.
No. Yeah, but in other words, where you have the drain, it has a cover on it, right?
No, there's no cover on it.
Oh, it's just an open pipe?
It's an open pipe, and
in the floor.
Right.
Okay. Right. And when you walk into this room now, do you walk over it, or is it in the center of the room, in the back of the room?
It's in the center, but I don't have to walk anywhere near it. I mean,
okay. So here's what I want you to do. In a perfect world, you'd get a longer brush to scrub it all out like that, or you're going to go to the hardware store and you're going to buy what's called a test plug.
Okay.
You're going to take a tape measure and measure the width of this pipe, which my guess is it's 2 inches.
Okay.
It might be 3.
Okay.
And then they're going to sell you at the hardware store this rubber plug that goes right over the top, and it has a wing nut on the top.
Okay.
You're going to pop it in, you're going to tighten the wing nut, and you're just sealed the drain.
Okay, so it can be sealed. For some reason, I guess I thought it couldn't be sealed.
No. No. Now, what I would do before you seal it is I'd pour a little water down, like 2 cups of water.
Okay.
Then a tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil.
See, I used olive oil, and I was afraid, because I know you're supposed to use vegetable oil, and then I thought, well,
use vegetable or olive oil. I'm just kidding, because olive oil is better for you. But the whole idea is what I want to do is make a skin of oil on the top of the drain so it doesn't evaporate.
Right. Okay.
Then you put the plug over the top. It's not going to evaporate because you put the plug over the top, and you're going to tighten it, and you're going to seal it, and that's it. You go to sell the house someday. Is this a laundry room? Yeah, you pull the plug out, you're good to go. Good luck with the drain flies. Don't tell them that.
No. I wish there were fruit flies, just because that sounds more socially acceptable.
Just tell people that. How are they going to know? What do you got? You got a bunch of entomologists.
Yeah, I keep fruit in that drain.
You got a bunch of friends coming over who are entomologists. They're going to come over and inspect the bugs. Just say fruit flies, and you'll be good to go. Don't worry about it. Mary, thank you so much for the phone call. Let's talk to Frank in Park Ridge. Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks, Lou, for taking my call.
Sure.
And because of nice warm weather we're having here, I'm going to ask you the first air conditioning question of the season, probably.
Okay.
Lou, we had some trouble with our central air conditioning last year, and we didn't do anything, and we're going to move forward this spring. And last year I had 3 bids at the central air system, and one issue came up between the bids I had regarding the refrigeration lines between the inside evaporator coil and the outside compressor. 2 of them didn't mention anything unusual about having underground refrigeration lines like I have now. The 3rd one said with the new refrigerant they're using today, they don't recommend underground drainage lines or refrigeration lines. What is your take on that?
I don't like underground refrigerant lines in any application, just because it's a recipe for problems because of the moisture and the joints and movement and ground freezing. So I would prefer if they were always exposed and elevated. That's my personal opinion. Now, let me ask you this. You're going to keep the same furnace that you have, correct?
No, Lou, it's a situation where the original house had hot water heat.
Okay.
And the central air conditioning system was added later on.
Okay, so this is just an air handler and a refrigeration system. You still have hot water heat?
Yes.
Okay. Now, in relationship to where the air handler is and the condensing unit outside, how close are those 2 things?
Well, it's a split level house, and I'd say maybe 30 feet, more or less. And
do the refrigerant lines in the lower level, do they run across inside the house and then come out at the other end?
I'm suspecting they run on the outside, the periphery of the house, but I don't know for a fact.
Okay.
I just see the lines in the front going down into the ground.
Oh, you do. So in other words, it comes out of the front.
Right.
And then it goes under, and you can see them coming out. So that's adjacent to where the air handler is.
And that they come up
pretty close.
The outside compressor is.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, if it were me, how old is the house and how old is the system?
House is about 50 years old. System's about 12, 15 years old.
Yeah. If it were me, I would have new line, what's called a line set run. And if there's a way for you to get that compressor closer, it's more efficient.
It's almost up against the back of the house now.
Right. And so, but where it comes, where the air handler is that near the side of the house?
The air handler actually is in the attic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the unit is up in the attic.
Well, the evaporator coils are in the crawl space. And that must be the air handler unit there also.
Okay.
I think
this is a great time to call these guys now because they're not super busy. Right now, heating and cooling guys are going, holy smokes, I need something to do. American Weather Makers, great people to call to get an estimate from. You're in, where are you, Park Ridge? Yeah, they come out to Park Ridge. Also, you can call the folks at iwantsmart.com. Those are really good guys as well. And talk to them about new line sets. And the closer you can get that condensing unit to where it connects to the air handler, the system just works better because I don't have to run and that compressor doesn't have to push through all those lines. And so that's always a better application. The closer, the better. And like I said, I like to see those line sets in case there's ever a problem. Thanks so much for the phone call. 9:18 in the morning. We'll be right back. This is not what I think about when I think about Spanish music.
I haven't heard this song in ages, but you know what? I like it.
Do you think this is going to attract people to the trip, Steve?
Well, I hope so.
Joining me on the radio program right now is a voice you may have heard before, a guy by the name of Steve Bertrand. He's a new guy here at WGN Radio. We'd like to welcome you to the station, Steve. Where are you from? And
I'm from a small town, Mantino, Illinois.
What was your GPA?
It was a 3.35.
Oh, wow. That's good memory. Very nice. How are you, my friend?
Can I say I'm watching you guys online? It's so much fun. I had no idea.
Did you see Lindsay's dance at one point when she was showing me?
She told me I missed that.
It was pretty funny.
Something, right?
Yeah, right. She was pretty. She got a new pair of jeans and she was showing everybody, and evidently everybody got to see. Can they go back? Is it like a DVR? Can they do that? Can they DVR it?
Oh God, I hope not. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, just watching the four of you online. I mean, she's definitely the highlight.
Correct, and Veronica.
And Veronica.
Right,
I
exactly.
I can't see Veronica as well, though.
Well, it's because she's kind of, she's back a little bit. That's right. I think she does that on purpose. I don't know why. Anyway, how are you, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. We announced last week on the remote that I'm heading to Spain. And
yes.
I thought it'd be a really nice idea since you are so intimate with how this all works. And I'm the new guy that my wife and I are going to host a trip going to Spain.
I got to tell you, I'm so glad you guys are doing, and you know, you said it last week, I've been hounding you for a couple of years to do this, and so I'm glad you're doing it, and this trip to Spain is one that I actually took a very similar trip probably 20 years ago, but it's a great tour. I was just in Seville a couple of years ago, and so I just think you're going to love this. You leave October 20th, it's an 8-day tour of Spain, start in Madrid, and then make your way south to Seville for a couple of days. But In the interim, you're going to see this beautiful old world city, Toledo, on the way down. It's a river city. And then spend a couple of days in Seville. You'll see Granada, the Alhambra Palace, which, you know, is a world sight. And I just think it's a cool, very cool trip. It's a part of Spain. In October, the temperature will be in the 70s, so
wow,
a little warm weather. But, you know, we always build extra things in. And this is the thing I'm most excited for you. In Madrid, there are flamenco lessons.
Oh, very nice.
So you go to a flamenco bar and have a couple lessons. Because you did that Dancing with the Stars thing.
I did.
Is that Chicken Your Bonbon?
I did. No, we're not singing to that song. Stop talking.
I picture you with
Let's
the
Steve talk.
In your teeth. And really, I think that's worth the price of admission right
well,
now.
Well, what was interesting is, you know, obviously you and I have talked for a number of years about all this. And then finally, probably about 6 months ago, we really started to, you know, dig into this whole idea. And when I started, and you had presented some options about different places that we could go, and Spain kind of rose to the top. My wife and I had never been to Spain before. And I think initially, you know, we talked about going, well, of course you think of Spain, everybody thinks about Barcelona.
Right.
And, you know, we had looked at a trip in Barcelona, and you've done this for a while. You said, you know, yeah, I get the whole Barcelona thing, but this trip I think you're going to find more interesting and you're going to actually experience a little bit more in the way it's all put together. Now, and we're very excited about that. Talk a little bit about some of the particulars and how it all works.
Well, and so I want to say one thing about Barcelona, too. We are building an extension. So if people are going on the trip and they want to add a couple days on and go to Barcelona, that'll be an option, too, that we'll have.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so, you know, it's we've done a lot of these trips on WGN. You join the group, fly into Madrid, and spend a couple days there. You're going to join the group in Madrid and head down. I just want to say something about Seville, too, because when you get down in Andalusia and then into Seville, I mean, the architecture is completely different. They have a huge influence from the Moors, who were occupied southern Spain for centuries. So you've got these sort of the Christian architecture, the Jewish architecture, and then the Muslim architecture as well.
Sounds so cool.
It's beautiful, the tile work and all of that, and the food. In Seville, too, another thing we've built in is a tapas walk. You know, tapas food is big here now, but it's comes from Spain, obviously. So
right,
you walk through a Seville neighborhood, stop from spot to spot, and have little sacks of authentic food. Yeah, so people can sign up. The information is at a couple spots. It's at SteveBertrandTravel.com, or it's on WGNRadio.com as well. But really, the quickest way is to drop me an email at Steve@SteveBertrandTravel.com, or even call me. My phone number is 847-606-6065. And I'll get all the information to you.
The way these trips normally work, just from a scheduling standpoint, you know, so everybody understands, the group is going to leave on a Friday. No, is that right?
Friday.
The group's going to leave on Friday. Mary Beth and I, because I work on Saturdays, and just the way it kind of worked out in this timing, we're leaving on Saturday, but we'll join you there, which basically that first day is kind of a travel day. But
right,
then we'll be all together throughout the trip at that point, and then I'll come back, fly back from Spain back to Chicago.
And can I say another thing about these trips is they are so much fun. I mean, you've got this, you know, little city on a bus. You're going to make friends that you'll probably keep forever. I mean, I'm in contact with a lot of my passengers. We're going to go out to dinner with some in a couple weeks. I mean, it's always a great group of people. It's a lot of fun, and it's a wonderful way to see the country. You have local guides with you on every tour, walking tour of Toledo or Cordoba or in the Alhambra or Generalife in Granada, and it's a great way to really learn about the country and enjoy some great food and wine as well.
The total price is $3,659, which includes all departure and government taxes. It's round trip air from Chicago. We'll be on Iberia Airlines, which is a really nice airline. Two nights in Madrid for the accommodations at a 4-star hotel. One night in Granada at another 4-star hotel. Seville, two nights, 5-star. Madrid, one night. My wife, you know, we're travelers, right? And
I
she was
like
looking.
The hotels, didn't you?
And she loved the hotels.
Yeah.
She goes, I checked out all the hotels, and they're amazing.
So people think of the old, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, European hotels. That's not where we stay. We stay at a lot of them are old, but they're remade. They're just beautiful.
Yeah.
You said 4- and 5-star joints. So
we have a professional tour guide, a director throughout. It's a luxury motor coach. We get breakfast each morning. There's dinners. As you mentioned, the tapas. We're going to museums. We'll have local English-speaking guides wherever we go, which is great. There's 24-hour emergency service if we need it. And, you know, it really just looks like a lot of fun, and I'm very excited. So if this is something you want to come and join us on, once again, how do they get a hold of you?
One other point I want to say, though, Lou, is we also build in a lot of free time.
Right.
So you're with the group, you're taking some tours, but you've got time to explore on your own, which people really enjoy too.
Right, so you can take off and say, hey, I'm going to go walk over here and spend the afternoon or a few hours or whatever it is, and you can do all that.
Right, and we have afternoons where free where you can just go off and do what you want to do.
How about nap time? Is there nap time built in?
It's a siesta time, Lou.
Oh, siesta, right, sorry.
Get with the program, will you?
Sorry. All right, phone number and email one more time.
Phone number is 847-606-6065, and the email is steve@stevebertrandtravel.com.
And I've already told some of my friends about this, and I know that I think we've already got a couple people signing up. So it'll probably go fast. I know it's hard to think about now because it's October, but the weather will be very similar to what it is today.
Yeah, even actually warmer. I was surprised by that. Someone asked about it, and I looked it up, and it's upper 60s and mid-70s.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, Steve, thanks for jumping on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I got to get the phone.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Steve Bertrand, you want more information on that trip, you can call Steve. We'll repost it up on our Facebook page as well. Quick break, and then we'll get to news, and then it's our Just Text Me segment.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
I don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
But it's easy to text, but not when you drive. No texting and driving. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini. Time for our Just Text Me segment on the Mr. Fix-It Show. Lindsay Smithwick in the producer's booth.
Hola.
Hi there. Oh, you're doing the whole Spanish thing.
I can't wait till you come back from this trip and try to speak it to me.
Well, I speak enough Spanish to be... My problem is I speak Italian, not well, but I speak okay, and I'm constantly confusing the two languages.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, we go to Mexico every year. I'm going to be on vacation. Oh, no, I don't miss a Saturday because that's how much I love you people.
I know.
But we're next Sunday, a week from tomorrow, we're going to be gone. What?
You go a week from next Sunday?
A week from this Sunday, tomorrow.
Where are you going?
Mexico.
What? That's like
our
yearly
trip.
Oh, but you're not missing a Saturday.
No, when we come back Friday. Right. Anyway.
It's amazing.
And so when I get there after a couple days, I got the whole, you know, cerveza.
Especially fria. After cervezas.
Right. So anyway. But
you always get better when you have a
Right, exactly.
Cocktails,
right. It's very good. I'm like, you know, Julio Iglesias. Mm-hmm. What's going on for Just Text Me?
Okay. Well, I have old gold doorknobs. The handles are worn to chrome. What can I use to remove the gold from the plates?
No.
No.
I mean, if they were plated, which my guess is they're plated, that wear from the hands, there's no way, it's not even worth it to try and get all that plating off. You would spend a month of Sundays and still not get it all off. At this point, I would just replace the knobs.
All right. Is it hard to change a bathroom exhaust fan? I'm a do-it-yourselfer, but have never tackled this one. Can you recommend a brand also?
Not difficult. You know, the trick is to try and buy a model that is similar in size so that you don't have to do any work with the drywall where it sits. What I would do is turn it on, find the breaker that feeds the exhaust fan, and turn the breaker off so we know the electrical's dead. Take the cover off. You should see the electrical connection there. The metal housing is typically screwed in sideways into the framing of the ceiling. So there'll be two or four screws holding it in place. You'll pull that down. There should be enough hose connected to the vent for you to then disconnect the hose portion. One of the most quiet fans that you can buy is by Panasonic. Brone also makes really good fans. They're just a little bit noisier. And when you're buying fans, so the housing's important. You want to take it down, measure it, get the same housing that will fit in that place. CFMs are important. That's cubic feet per minute, how much it moves. In a standard bathroom, you want at least 120 CFMs. And then the other thing to look at is the sone level, S-O-N-E. The lower the sone number, the more quiet the fan. Anything less than 2.5 is a quiet fan.
Hmm.
Who knew?
Who knew? Very smart. Lou, I have a question about how to remove an ink stain from a hardwood floor. Any suggestions?
Aquanet.
The hairspray?
Uh-huh. Spray it on. Use a spray it. Let it sit there for just 15 seconds. And then wipe it up with a microfiber towel.
Oh, that reminds me of my grandma.
Aquanet?
Mm-hmm. And lastly,
with all my hair now, that's what I'm using, Aquanet.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not.
Is there anything I can do to deter a hawk from capturing my little birds near the feeder?
It's nature.
I know, but that's so sad. That one caught my heart.
Don't put food in the feeder. And then it won't attract the birds. I mean, I don't know. I mean, no.
Fine.
No. I mean, I will tell you this, is that the feeder, if the little birds, the feeder is probably not protected enough. So in other words, when you're putting feeders out there for birds, it's important that the feeder itself has some type of protection. It's close to a tree. It's under a branch. If you can limit the hawk's ability to really zero in on them, you know, these are right, hawkeye, right? The eyes are amazing. Mm-hmm. But if there's a couple branches, or you can reposition it so that the hawk doesn't have the ability to swoop in and grab it and come out,
yeah,
that there's obstacles in the way, you may want to consider relocating the feeder to a more protected area. I just bought a new feeder, mm-hmm, and hung it under our tree because it was empty and ours was, it didn't work. And I bought the wrong feeder.
Ugh.
Because the birds are so happy. There's feet all over the ground.
Oh, yeah.
I have what I think it is. It's not that I bought the wrong feeder. I bought the wrong bird food. And so I need a little bigger food. So once they get through all this, I got to buy new food. Do you have a feeder at your house?
We do. We actually suction cupped one to the window.
So cool. So it's really neat for the kids
them,
to see.
Right.
And ours is right out of our family room window, and we're sitting there and they're feeding. And then now this time, I mean, cardinals will show up and beautiful. Some beautiful birds. It's really fun. It's really, really fun. 9:45 in the morning. That's our Just Text Me segment. Thank you, Lindsay. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Mike Emmerich from NBC Sports. You're listening to the icy resolve of Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, on 720 WGN.
Thanks, Doc. 9:48 in the morning. Here's Sue in Chicago. Hi, Sue. You're on WGN.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, a lot of our callers call in about the toilet noise.
Yeah.
And I had that problem. And you're right about how to clean it. But I think I know why it happened. About a year ago, I bought the cakes that you put into the toilet tank.
Right.
And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I'd hear this toilet talking to me. And I guess it was on all day, but I didn't pay attention. Anyway, I had a lovely handyman here, and I said, hey, I have this talking toilet. And he looked at it, and he said, the particles from that cake clog the flapper at the bottom.
Well, it can be attracted to it and create, like, some separation between the two. Yeah, I buy that.
And he said it would eventually go away. He said if he waited another month or two, eventually it would all dissolve and it would be okay. But I think, you know, what some of your callers call, maybe they should look into and see if that could be the reason why it's happening.
If they're using those little cakes in the tanks.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And do you still use them in your tanks?
No.
No. and everything's nice and quiet now. Do you tell other people that the toilet talks to you, or you keep that to yourself?
Well, it was interesting for a while, but then it was annoying. He talked at the wrong time.
It's sort of like therapy. It's like someone to talk to. That's not so bad, right? You're not alone.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's right.
Very nice. I appreciate the phone call, Sue. Thank you very much. 9:50 in the morning. We'll be right back. It's 9:54 in the morning.
Happy trails.
And it's time for our last call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. Thanks to Veronica for hosting the news, Sam on sports, Ferguson for pushing all the buttons, and Lindsay for doing all the work that she does every single day. We're going to go to South Carolina and talk to Ken. Hey, Ken, you're our last caller this morning. Good morning.
Well, thanks, Lou. Appreciate it. Yeah, we are in South Carolina, and we were listening on the Internet, but I'm from Chicago.
Okay, how long you been down in South Carolina?
October 1st, my wife retired. I was retired a little bit earlier, and we're living the dream.
And are you living near the water?
Yes.
All right, so I have this whole thing about South Carolina. I've been talking to my wife. I'm like, what about South Carolina? And now I've heard this. Now you tell me yes or no. That in South Carolina, there's like a smell.
No, there's no smell. Like, no, but I've only been down here since October.
All right.
So I heard because
of the tide and the spot and when it goes, what?
Like
what are you
a
saying?
Good one?
Not a good smell.
Oh.
Like a decaying smell because of the tides and stuff. But you haven't noticed that yet.
We're not right on the ocean, though. We're probably 60 miles from Charleston.
6-0?
Lake Marion.
6-0.
6-0, yes.
Oh, okay. So you're on a lake.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yes, I'm on Lake Marion, which is the Sandy Cooper Reservoir, which is the largest lake in South Carolina.
Wow. Good for you, Ken. I'm happy you're retired.
Thank you.
Are you driving your wife crazy?
Actually, the home that we purchased wasn't a new home, and so it's her and me doing a lot of projects together, which gets a little tense at times.
Hey, how long have you been married?
43 years.
All right. Well, will you do me a favor, even though you're retired? Just let her do what she wants, and you'll be happy. Right, you laugh, but you know I'm right.
I know you're right.
I know. All right, how can I help you today, Ken?
Quick question. The house has a 50-gallon hot water heater, which is in the attic.
Okay.
I'm very uncomfortable with that to start with. But the question being is, what's your take on the whole house on-demand hot water heaters? I mean, as far as electric, and it would have to stay in the attic because the house is on a crawl space.
Mm-hmm.
So to get everything, if I was to try to move this, it would be a financial
right nightmare. But your house is all electric?
Yes, everything is electric here because it's Santee Cooper who built the reservoir in the late 30s. It was built for hydroelectric power.
Oh.
Everything here is all electric, unless you go propane. Some people
got
have
it, got
propane.
It, yeah. Well, the on-demand water heaters are terrific, and the electric ones are not as efficient as the propane or gas, meaning that it costs a little bit more to run. But the thing is, you're not storing any water up there, which is nice. If you you don't have to vent an electric one, so that's a non-issue as well. I mean, the one you have now is invented. And you can pipe it up there and go to town. You'll have less weight. It'll be smaller. And your biggest issue, well, no, actually, you'll probably have the circuit will probably be big enough with what you have currently to feed that. I was talking earlier, a couple of different manufacturers to look at is Navion. And another one would be Noritz. That make really good units, both gas and electric. And the biggest thing is, as I mentioned, as you're looking at these, you want to make sure that it has a stainless steel heat exchanger. That's the key. So I'm a huge fan. I have no downside in my opinion. You absolutely should put those on there. And congratulations to you retiring. Sounds like a lot of fun. It is 9:59 in the morning. Hit the non-flashing button, and when we do that, we talk to our friend John Williams, who is standing by. Good morning, John.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. I've been, you know what I've been doing for the last few minutes?
Packing?
No. Although, yeah, that's part of the... No, we're getting the bathroom painted first.
Oh, very nice.
No, I've been looking up other people who think the Earth is flat.
And have you found any?
Yeah, it's not an uncommon thing. Remember Sherry Shepherd? She is a comic. It was on 30 Rock. She was on The View for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
okay.
I remember this. She was sitting there, and they were talking about evolution. And she said, I don't believe in evolution. And some people do, some people don't. But it was making Whoopi Goldberg and Barbara Walters crazy. And so then they started to talk to her more, and she said, well, she's not sure that the Earth is round. She can't tell. It looks flat to her. And nobody's proven to her, kind of like evolution, that the Earth is a circle instead of a flat surface.
Well, I think everybody's allowed to believe what they want to believe. But can I tell you something that's I have that's very special to my wife and I?
Okay.
I have a picture that was given to us by Captain James Lovell.
Well, this would be compelling evidence,
I think. This is the picture of one of the Mercury trips that he was on. Not Mercury, Apollo. Apollo.
Was he on Apollo?
He was Apollo, but not the one where they, you know, the Apollo 13 mission. But I believe it was the one right before.
Yeah.
Where they were orbiting, and it's a picture from the module of the Earth. That not Captain Lovell, but whoever he was with, he was in charge of pictures. And Captain Lovell looks out the window and says to the gentleman with him, aren't you in charge of taking pictures? He goes, yeah. He goes, you might want to take a picture of this. And it's that iconic picture through the window of the Earth.
Yeah.
And it sure does look round to me.
Well, Sherry Shepherd wasn't in that space capsule at the time. And so Whoopi says to her, well, is the world flat? And she said, I don't know, Whoopi. I've never thought about it. You know what I think about? Feeding my kids. So she you know, it's then like, okay, I know your kids are more important, but when you get a minute, you might want to think about that.
Yeah. That's good.
All right, Lou. Well, by the way, speaking of planet Earth, it's going to be 97 degrees today.
Yes.
We're going to visit with a climatologist a little later on. Let me just ask you this now. Are you, like, totally enjoying 67 degrees, but also feeling a little like, ruh-roh?
Well, I'm going to take it from a totally different perspective. You know, my wife and I own two hardware stores.
Oh, yeah?
And
this is bad for you,
for
right?
For people in that business, weather is very important because it's really not ready to plant the flowers yet.
Yeah.
And so from a business perspective, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. I mean, snow blowers, snow throwers, rock salt, we should be buying that
stuff
right now.
We've got deals on them.
All right, Mr. Fix-It. Nice to hear your voice, my friend.
You too. Have a great show, John.